Hey, I'm Stevie.
What's up? I'm Monty J.
And you're listening to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast,
where we take a deep dive with your favorite contemporary romance authors,
asking them questions about everything from their writing process to their reading habits, plus so much more.
Join us as we help you find your next bookshelf boyfriend.
What's up, bookworms? It's your host, Stevie.
What's up, guys? It's MJ. Hope everybody's having a lovely Monday. I'm tired. As of recent, I had my birthday. I aged. I am 365 days and some change old, past a certain age.
No longer 21.
I am.
Oh my God! I just thought about Taylor Swift in this moment.
I'm feeling 22. Yeah, so I had a great birthday, and I told myself I was going to take 2 weeks off before I started writing again, and I'm already doing character interviews, and I want to die that I'm doing this to myself, but it's fine. Reading-wise, Lord have mercy, do I got some recommendations for y'all, okay? Shocker, right, that I actually read. So, recommendations. Danny Renee, is it that his surname?
Yes.
Hold up. Let me, first of all, I forgot what the name of the fucking books were. Let me get my Kindle. Get my Kindle. I'm pulling it up, ladies and gentlemen. I should have had this prepared, but I was not, because I am not a very prepared person. Okay, so Ruthless Creatures, Carnal Desires. By J.T. Gessinger. Two books in her Monsters and I think it's Monsters and Queens series, or Queens and Monsters series. Super good. 10 out of 10 recommend if you like mafia, MC vibes, alpha males. Super, super good. And then Danny Renee's Thorn and Roses series. There is a prequel, and then there are three books. And oh my God, they're so good. I literally love all of them. They have been... like, they're so angsty and so well-written, and I just, oh my God, I love them. I love them my whole heart, so I can't recommend those enough. And then I read the current author that we're going to have on the podcast today, her latest book, Promises and Pomegranates, and we're going to talk more about that later on, but that was also really good. So that's what I've been reading. Stevie, what's going on in the book world for you?
Let's see. I've been reading... not a whole lot, but a lot, in a sense that I've actually made time to read.
Yeah.
Because we know how I go through my spurts.
I know.
So I just read Beneath the Fallen Stars by Lacey Black and Kaylee Ryan. It's their new co-write. It's a standalone. It's, I have a feeling they're probably going to turn it into a series, mainly because they had to introduce two side characters that had a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
So it was one of those moments. And this one is Shane and Ford, and it is a military, I don't want to really, they classify it as insta-love, but I don't necessarily classify it as insta-love. There's some letter writing where that takes up a lot of the chapters of writing back and forth while he's on base and she's at home. That's really cute. And then I read Charmed by Lara Pavlov, which is the book three in the Willow Spring series. It's Mara and Crew's story. They are enemies. Their families are enemies. But what happens when you sleep with the enemy? And then I read The Trouble with Number 9, which is by Piper Rain. And obviously I'm obsessed with those girls anyway, and their books are always phenomenal. So there was a lot of spunk in that book, and Paisley and Maxim were quite the pair. And then I also just started Hard to Handle by Kay Brumberg, which is another hockey book, and it's so good. So that's really all that's coming up for me. I don't think there's very many releases this week that I know of, because I'm not really blogging anymore. Well, I can tell you, I can drop my secret now.
Drop it.
Because I am no longer a blogger. The blog has now been closed. And the reason being is that I did start a PR company, and with my really good friend Tiffany, who I know listens to this episode, so she'll probably be saying, hey, that's me. We started a PR company called Embers and Ashes. And we have signups for our first arc, which is called, why did it just skip my mind? Because I'm looking at the graphics right now. Oh my goodness. Shit, why can't I remember the name of the book now? Dirty Little Secret by Alexis Winter. That book is really, really good. I did get to read it before arcs go out, and it is an age gap office romance, very spicy, a little bit of drama in there with a stalkery ex.
We love
billionaire, broody billionaire. So that's all for me.
All right, well, also, if you guys don't know, we have anniversary episodes coming up. Super exciting. Make sure you stay tuned for that.
Indie
Make
author sure panel.
Mark your calendars for the indie author panel, September the 6th. Super exciting.
September the 5th.
September the 5th. That's what I said. And we also have a Patreon. Go check that out. If you can't donate to the Patreon, no big deal. Leave us a review on whatever it is that you listen to. We would very much so appreciate it. But without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and read the bio to the author that we have coming on today. And go ahead and get started. Sav R. Miller writes dark contemporary romance with morally gray characters and steam that'll make you blush. She prefers the villains in most stories and thinks everyone deserves happily ever after. Currently, Sav lives in central Kentucky with her fiance and Labrador Great Pyrenees mix named Lord Byron. She loves sitcoms, silence, and sardonic humor. With that, let's go talk to Sav.
And now a word from our sponsor. Today's episode is presented by Early Bird. Early Bird is the simplest way for parents, family, and friends to collectively invest in a child's financial future, starting at the earliest ages. Early Bird's mobile app empowers parents and families to start saving for their child's financial future in a matter of minutes, while activating a child's broader community to gift contributions on birthdays, holidays, and any occasion. I know for me, I have a nephew who I love very much. It is so important to teach them at a young age to save their money for college or whatever financial future they have. So I'm excited that today we're teaming up with Early Bird to give our listeners a free $15 investment to gift to a child you love. Simply go to partners.getearlybird.io/podcast or the link in our show notes and download the app and create an account today. Early Bird, build the nest and invest in the child and the children you love.
Thank you so much for joining us, Sav Miller. Welcome to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast. We are so excited to have you.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I want to first and foremost say congratulations. I heard that you broke Amazon's top 100. Congrats.
Yes, I did. First time, first release to do that. So I was very excited.
That's super cool. Super. I mean, this book would. This was the book to do, let me tell you, because it, it was good. I already recommended it in the intro. Obviously, I didn't talk a lot about it because obviously we're going to be talking about it currently. Right. I recommended it in the intro. I love this book. Oh, God. Lady. Okay, pause. First of all, rewind. Before we get started, I like to ask everybody how the weather is where you're at.
Where I'm at?
Yeah.
Gloomy today. It's not sunny, it's not rainy, but it's overcast, I guess.
Mine is piss poor in the rain outside, but it's like sunshine. So
stupid. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I live in North Carolina. It's stupid. And it's like hot. It's like disgusting outside. Yeah. Mosquitoes are just like thriving. They're like living their best lives out there.
Yeah. I live in Kentucky and it's gross.
Yeah, no.
That's just the only way to describe the summertime here.
South is just like humid heaven, bro. It is. And like for a girl who was born with like naturally thick, curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think about, I went outside with this hair right now, bro. Afro.
Same.
No, thank you.
Hence why mine's always up in a bun during the summertime.
Yep, same.
So we are going to jump right into questions about your newest release, Promises and Pomegranates. Dude, that's a fucking tongue twister. I have almost fucked that up.
I know. And it's so long, and I did not realize how long it was. So the only, anytime I reference it online, I'm like shorthanding it. It has to be P&P because I just can't handle having to type out pomegranates every single time.
It's not even as long. It's just, I genuinely have almost fucked it up. Like, I can't even tell you how many times. Like,
yeah.
That's what happened with Kat, though. Me and Kat, like, we reference fog all the time.
Yeah.
But nobody knows what fog is when we say it. So
yeah.
We're
like, P&P. Yeah. Promises and pomegranates. Oh, my God. I can't see promises and pomegranates. Yeah. Oh, my God. My dyslexia is screaming. Anywho. My first question is, what inspired you to do a Greek mythology retelling?
You know, I had initially planned for Cal's book to be the fourth and last book in my King's Trace anti-hero series.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was writing the prequel for Promises and Pomegranates, I don't know if I was reading other Greek myth retellings or what I was doing, but I've always been interested in Greek mythology. And as I was kind of like outlining Cal's character, I was like, hey, he lends himself really well to like a modern day real life person embodiment of Hades.
Yeah.
And I think I remember texting Emily and I was even like, I inadvertently wrote Hades as a character. I didn't even mean to. I was like, so what if instead of continuing this series, if I broke it off and started an entirely new series and kind of wrote those based on some of the Greek myths that I really enjoy.
Yeah. I'm obsessed. So that's kind
of how that came. Yeah.
So I love Greek mythology. Anytime that I had the option, I had like a free course. So I took AP mm-hmm. mythology in high school, but anytime I had like an open course in college, yeah. I was like, slide on in some type of religion class all up in yes. that business. And yep. so I had like, I took two courses in Greek mythology. Dude, it's my jam and my jelly. My jam and my jelly. Not only was into it in school, my dad named me after Alexander the Great, which I know is like not Greek mythology.
Well, yeah.
But
yeah.
it like ties into it and it's mm-hmm. just, it's my jam. Okay. And I love it. So yep. anytime there is like anytime anybody's like Greek mythology retelling, I'm like, okay.
Yes,
say less. add to cart. So I love that. And do you pronounce, are we pronouncing her name Elena?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool, because I'm just making sure. I have a tendency to fuck up names on this
no topic. Yeah.
So Elena is like this badass mafia heroine. Okay, I was like, yes, queen, the whole time. I was like, yeah. So she is like able to be soft yet strong. And I thought you captured the female psyche so well with her. And like how she can be vulnerable yet, you know, guarded. And it was just, I just felt like it was a very good representation of how I feel like a lot of females feel is like, they're not just soft and they're not just strong. They fall in this like very rooted middle ground, and I really mm-hmm. love that about her. And so what surprised you the most when you were writing her, and did you pull any traits from yourself, and if so, what?
Honestly, what surprised me the most with her, I feel like, was her overall character growth. So like when I went in, I had this idea obviously of who I wanted her to be. I wanted her to kind of have this hardened outer shell. I wanted her to be this person who, she wasn't really living two lives, but mainly because she wasn't ever really allowed to, I guess, embrace like her true self living under the thumb of her parents.
Yeah.
But so that left her with a lot of like pent up resentment and rage and all of this kind of like, inability to react to things rationally. So like she would kind of, when she felt threatened or felt attacked or anything like that, she would kind of lash out violently.
Yeah.
Or I guess kind of aggressively. And I wasn't necessarily anticipating that to change very much, just because I felt like Cal was kind of her male counterpart to that. Like, they kind of mirror each other in that regard. So I wasn't really expecting a whole lot of, like, change on that front. I was expecting more of the change to be, like, relationship, I guess, based.
Yeah.
But then kind of seeing, like, without giving any spoilers or anything, but, like, kind of seeing how she interacts to certain things later on and mm-hmm. how she's more, I think, logical about certain things. And she doesn't necessarily rely on anger or violence or aggression or anything to kind of work through stuff. And she's more, I guess, able to move on.
Yeah.
I felt like her growth was the most surprising thing to me just because I wasn't expecting it at all. And then as far as, like, did I put any of myself into her? I always try to put a little bit of, like, just little things with my characters because it makes it easier for me to connect with them.
Yeah.
So occasionally I'll give them, like, certain traits or certain, like, interests that I also have just because, you know, but they have to also fit, like, who they are as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Her love of, like, poetry and reading and writing obviously is something that I identify very heavily with, specifically her interest in, like, poetry and stuff.
Yeah.
In the romantics, like, I'm obsessed with all things romantic, like Percy Shelley, John Keats, all that stuff.
Lord Jesus. Yes.
Like, one of my dogs is named Lord Byron. I kid you not.
I saw that in your bio. Yes. I saw that in your bio.
And then the other one is Poe.
I have a quote in one of my books because one of my female characters is also very much into poetry. Mm-hmm. And basically she, like, forces the male character to read to her at night. Mm-hmm. And he, like, yeah, reads yeah. poetry or whatever. And he basically, like, it gives her shit for, like, making him read, like, John Keats and, like, the romantics or whatever. And she's like, we are romantics now. John Keats, like, Keats is, like, romance. That's what we do. Yeah. Like, that's our thing. So I love him. I love him my whole soul. Okay. Yeah. It's a vibe. Yeah. And I also thought for people who, cause I mean, some people don't necessarily, I guess, go into Greek mythology retellings, right. like, knowing things about Greek mythology, which is totally fine. But going into it, knowing, I thought that Elena was such a good, like, I guess, like, metaphor for Persephone yeah. mm-hmm. in her own way because of the way that she was able to be soft and strong. Like, Persephone yeah. is literally the goddess of spring and yeah. the queen of death, okay? Yeah. like, yeah. the bitch is, like, balancing two different things at one time, okay?
Yeah.
And I thought that Elena was a very good metaphor for that and in, like, a modern way. So I really yeah. like that. Now, moving to Cal.
Okay.
Sir was, like, main character of the book for me, okay? He was, yeah. like, he was... serving, okay? He was, like, dirty talking, alpha, anti-hero, throwing the mob, like, sprig the mafia in there, and I was like, yeah. bro, I'm in love, okay? So, but he also has this, like, depth and so much, like, vulnerability that I really adored, and it was, like, one of the reasons that I, like, loved him so much, and I feel, like, connected to his character, so, and I was like, bro, like, this is how I imagine Hades.
like, yeah,
I
yeah.
literally talked to this lady and she was, Stevie, it was when we were on Cougar Talk and she is visiting, like, Greece. I'm going to pause. Are you okay?
Yeah. My puppy is, like, doing something in the living room. I don't know what.
Okay.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry.
So, you're fine. So we're talking to this lady who's, like, visiting Greece. Like, her husband is Greek, right? And mm-hmm. She was talking to his family about how people do, like, Greek mythology retellings and, like, you know, like, and they're like, oh, so Hades is the villain. And they're like, no. Like, he's yes. the love interest. And they're yes. like, but he's not a good guy. Like, I don't understand. And I'm like, but he's troubled. Okay.
Yes.
We can fix him. All right. Yes. That's what we need to
know. Exactly. We can
fix him. Okay. And I literally love that. So. What was it hard balancing this, like, badass mafia man and, like, a compassionate soul in, like, a male?
Not at all. And it's really funny. Like, I always get comments from readers or even, like, my editor or, like, beta readers, and they'll always compliment me on how well I write asshole men.
Ah.
that also have this like weirdly like vulnerable, relatable aspect to them that makes them lovable. And it's funny because I always relate much harder to the male characters than I ever do the female characters.
Same though.
I don't know what it says about me.
Half-Life, I was a dude. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. But, and also Cal was a character I was writing an entirely different series before I started my King's Trace series. Mm-hmm. So like a year ago, I started writing Cal's sister's book. So he was actually the first character that I ever had created in this universe, like at all. And so he was very patiently waiting all of this time to get his own book. So like it, when I started writing it, his stuff just kind of just poured out of me because it was just, he was waiting and it was just ready. And I had spent so much time over the last year, like just thinking about him and conceptualizing how I wanted him to be. And I wanted him to be a villain on the surface, but I wanted him to be, because, and I read a lot about like, when I would like brush up on Hades and stuff, I would see stuff that would talk about how he's entirely misrepresented in Greek mythology, and that he's, you know, because of his realm and because of his title and stuff, in your world, he is misrepresented. And I kind of wanted that to be how readers saw Cal. I wanted him, especially because he makes cameos in the other three books in my King's Trace Antihero series. I wanted him to be this mysterious, dark character who like death kind of follows. But then when you actually fully meet him, he's got layers.
Exactly. He's an onion. He's got layers. And I mean, the thing is that, so I feel like a lot of people, like, so the reason that Hades is the god of, you know, the underworld, like the reason he is the ruler downstairs is because he pulled, like literally pulled the short straw. Not figuratively, my man literally just accidentally happened to pull the shortest straw out of these little hay thingies that Zeus felt like it would be a fucking good idea to do. Okay.
Right.
Yep. So it's not like he was born to be like this evil man, god, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
Just like Zeus nor Poseidon was gifted, like we're supposed to be like god of the heavens and god of like the sea. Okay. So it's like, it's almost like that nature versus nurture thing, where it's like if you're thrown down into a realm where all your job is to send souls to different types of places in death, you're not going to be exactly sunshine and fucking rainbows either. Okay.
Exactly.
So I'm going to pause.
Okay. Sorry. I had to lock it in here.
You're fine. You're fine. So I think that you did a really good job of like representing that and like doing, I feel like, and I mean, obviously I've never met the man. I could be totally wrong. He could be a literal piece of shit, but it's fine. So the chemistry for these two, this book is spicy. This book is like, this is book is hot. There was a particular scene where I was like, well, I'm gonna put the book down for a second.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this. So when you were writing these characters, did the chemistry come natural or was it a struggle to give them so much fire?
It came super natural, which, and I'm also partially, I feel like, because I wrote the prequel, which wasn't entirely, it's not crazy spicy because it's only 10,000 words.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't pack so much sex in without it becoming erotica.
Yeah.
But so when I had already kind of started and I kind of knew their relationship dynamic, I knew that they were very both passionate characters. They have a lot of like, they're really into like pain in some shape, form or fashion. And so when I started writing Promises and Pomegranates, I was like, you know, I feel like this is definitely going to be my spiciest book.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting it to be nearly as spicy as it ended up being.
Yeah.
But once it started writing, like, because, and I started and restarted and scrapped the beginning of this book, I kid you not, like 11 times. And it was because I kept trying to write it in a way because there were so many people who were waiting on Cal's story.
Yeah.
And I felt so much pressure to kind of write it a certain way. So that when I started deviating from how I initially wanted it to go, it took a really long time for me to get it right.
Yeah.
But then when I let the characters talk and I, you know, let them, when I let them have as much sex as they wanted, that it wrote really, really quickly.
Well, lady, I loved it. Such a good book. And so I'm going to let Stevie take question 5 because it's her like favorite all-time question. Okay.
Okay.
Stevie's not a dark romance reader.
Okay.
So that's my genre forte. Mm-hmm. So that's why I took these questions. But Stevie's going to take 5 because that's her favorite question and she hawks it.
Okay.
I also like watching authors tend to get really nervous when we ask this question because they don't think about it.
Yeah.
If you could turn Promises and Pomegranates into a movie, who would you cast as the roles?
Okay, so I looked at these questions because I had to practice. I had to prepare.
Okay.
So, and I normally don't even think about character, like, I don't really conceptualize a physical manifestation of my characters. Yeah. I know kind of like a general sense of what they look like and how I want them to look. I don't know why, but I think initially when I started Cal's Pinterest board, and I call it Cal's Pinterest board because for a while it was just named Cal because I didn't know what I was doing with him. But when I started his, there were a ton of Theo James pictures that would come up all the time. And I'm telling you, his board was filled with them. And when I think about Cal, he is the only one that I ever can see anymore.
Oh, okay. I love. Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so hot. Like now that you say it, I'm like, oh, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like I never would have like came to that conclusion on my own. But yeah. I like it. Okay, now for Elena, who would it be?
I had to, cause I don't watch a lot of TV or movies. So I had to like do a Google search on brunette celebrity. So I looked at a couple and I thought Adelaide Kane from the Rain series. I don't know if you guys have seen
the dark haired. Yeah. Oh my God. Who plays Queen Mary?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, snap. Yes. Yes. Yep. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes. Serving. I love her.
Yeah. I saw her and I was like, oh, that's it. She's the one.
A good match. They would have cute babies.
Yes.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
So you have the second book in the series releasing December 14th, which is Viper and say the word.
Virtuosos.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. That word. I'm not going to try to say that. And I'm really excited for it because it's a rock star romance.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't want to say too much about it because I haven't revealed officially the couple or the myth that it will be inspired by.
I guarantee you guess it.
You probably can't. And I want it to be guessable.
Right. I'm telling you, you give me some clues and I got it in like 20 seconds. I know I
could. The breadcrumbs, I swear, are all there. Like if you go back and read Promises and Pomegranates, I guarantee you will be able to figure out who the main male character is.
Mm-hmm.
He is brought up in the book. And then the female main character might be a little bit, not that she would be difficult, but there are several I think that people are wanting to see next. But
yeah.
She has been guessed.
Okay, cool. I think that for like the myth portion of it, because listen, I don't even give crap who the character is. I don't even care who the next couple is. All I care, I just want them to. Like I just absorb everything. Because see, I didn't read your past series, so I had no idea that Cal was even like. So I had to like buy all of those on my Kindle so that I could go back and read him. But I did not know that he was a part of a different series. So. Me, man, it could be like a jelly bean and I'd be okay with it, honestly. However, I do think that people will misconceptualize which myth you're going to do because of the title.
Yeah.
But I think I know what it is. So
I want to ask, but I'm also afraid because I feel like my face will reveal it.
I'll tell you after the podcast.
Okay, good.
And then that way, if it goes out live and I'm right, they won't know.
Okay, good. That's a good idea. So, but with that book, I don't plan on it being dark, which is why, like, it's not a dark rock star romance in the subtitle.
Yeah.
Because I don't want, first of all, I don't want to just write dark romance. Mm-hmm. But also these two characters that I have, their subject matter is going to be super dark, but like them as characters, they're not going to be anti-heroes. They're not going to be bad people. Like, they're just going to be God, I don't even know what word I'm looking for. People who have had misfortune.
Yeah.
Like, okay. They're just unfortunate people, like, but normal, you know, decent human beings.
I got you. Okay. I'm excited. I can't wait. you also have a co-write, Be Still My Heart, with my birthday twin. Okay. Emily. Yes. And I am like frothing at the mouth because I'm so excited. So can you give us a little bit of information on that and what inspired you two to want to write together?
I'm going to try to be as vague as possible because I don't know. we're obviously still writing it. We write on crazy tight schedules. But it was kind of like, I don't know if it was really a concrete decision. It was kind of like our writing style, and then us, first of all, us just being best friends in general.
Yeah.
And then our writing styles, we felt like really complement each other. They're really similar. And then the way that we write by like approach style, like character profiles, writing from stream of consciousness, not plotting like at all, felt those would work really well together. And I don't remember what started the conversation or like what even like, I don't know how it came to be, but she was kind of just like, I have this idea for a story. And she already had the title and everything ready to go. And she was so excited about it. And it was kind of just like a thing that it was like, do you want to write this with me? And
she's like, hey.
Yeah. And it was like, oh my God. Yeah. This sounds like a freaking amazing story. And yes, like this is the thing. Like, we had already eventually kind of assumed that we would write a story together at some point, and then it was kind of just like that was born, and then it was a matter of just waiting until we could finally tell people about it. And I mean, like, when you say you're frothing at the mouth for it, I was frothing for the ability to be able to tell people, because I swear people, like, when we would go live on TikTok too, they'd be like, you guys should write a book together, and I don't have a poker face, so like anytime that anyone would mention it, I'd have to like hide myself off camera because I'd be cracking up. I'm just like, yeah, it's coming. I just can't tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am super excited for it. I can't wait. I think it's going to be phenomenal. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited as fuck. I am going to now let CB take reading questions.
Okay.
I've been talking, and then I'll take my writing questions.
Okay.
I feel like that would flow better, CB, since I've already been talking for like 8 hours.
Fine. Okay, so what book has your favorite cover?
Like, general, like, out of every book I've ever read?
It could be any book you ever read, any of yours.
Well, of mine, obviously, it's going to be Promises and Pomegranates. I am legitimately obsessed with that cover.
Oh, but same.
It was so fucking hard to keep it a secret, because I had the cover done in, like, March. And I couldn't reveal it until July. And it was my worst, like, it was just the worst secret to have.
Yeah.
And then as far as, like, other books, to be honest, until I started writing and until I started really getting into, like, conceptualizing covers myself, not that I designed them, but, like, coming up with the ideas for them, I never really paid very much attention to covers at all. Like, I took Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover to my heart when it was like drilled into me in elementary school, and I would not pay attention to the covers at all. But I do really, really love the cover for Ashley Zavarelli's Stealing Cinderella. I don't know if you've seen that cover. It's simple, but I don't know what it is about it, but it's freaking gorgeous. but it's like a, it's a pair of high heels and like kind of like sparkles and fairy dust kind of looking thing. I don't know what it is about that, but it's, it, it gets me, like, it's just beautiful.
I'm looking it up right now. Ooh, snap. Okay. I also really like that. I love a simple cover.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I also love Emily's cover that she released today.
Yes. Oh my God.
Stevie, that earlier, I was like, pop off. I was like, I'm
excited. Yes. Yes. So the same cat at TRC Designs did both Hooked and Promises and Pomegranates. And she's also, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I don't see why not. She's doing our collab cover. So I'm very excited to see how that goes. But the Hooked cover fucking blew me away with how well she captured the tone for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very excited for everybody to be able to read that.
Oh, but same. Same! I'm excited to read it myself. Okay.
It's so good. It's not even funny.
I love this idea, and eventually I would love to do it also. I love this idea of taking like Disney villains.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and making them like, you know, the heroes of these books, because I'm gonna say right now, there's been multiple times where I'm like, but I like him kind of, like, I know that I shouldn't like him, but I kind of like him, like a little bit, like, okay, like this is gonna make me sound a little delusional, and that's okay. I don't care. I just want everybody to just imagine the Voodoo Man, but like young, from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen
Shadow Man. Okay. So the Shadow Man, but like young, you need to look him up, okay? But like young version played by like, oh, what is his name? What is his name? Oh my God, wait. It's the guy who plays in, what is it? Bridgerton? The Duke?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Him. I'm going to tell you right now, put him in a top hat and a coat, and I'm telling you right now, in love.
Yeah, I can see that.
In love. I would love him. Yeah, so that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I know I shouldn't, but I don't even care. I don't care. moving forward, sorry, continue.
So what attracts you to a book, if not the cover, a blurb, or recommendation from others?
To be honest, for a while there, I was late to the adult romance game scene. I didn't start reading adult romance until like 2019, I feel like. So it had already been around, you know, for, not that it hadn't been around, but for me, I was super late to it. So when I started reading it, I was kind of just consuming everything that I could get my hands on. So like, I would finish if I read a book by an author and liked that one, I would finish their entire backlist. And then I would look for like similar, like whatever Kindle would recommend to me as like similar authors. Now I usually look for tropes.
Mm-hmm.
I am more conscious about covers now just because where I'm conscious about my own.
Yeah.
And specifically on covers, I will buy a book. I don't usually buy paperbacks just because of the covers, but on ones that I like cannot like get out of my head, specifically because I'm a typography slut. So if it's got really, really good typography, I will buy it.
Yeah.
That is usually when it comes to, like, I can get over almost everything on a cover, but typography is huge for me.
Okay, cool. For a second, I thought that typography... I don't know. I was thinking of like maps, and I
didn't
know,
topography. Like,
like maps, and I was like, I love a good map too. I love a white
map. Well, you know, some of those books do have maps inside of them, so.
I was like, I love a good map. I was just thinking, but mostly they're like fantasy, which I'm not writing fantasy. I'm writing dark romance, but mine does have a map of a school, but. Oh. I love a good map. I was like, yeah. And I was like, no, she's not talking about that. She's not talking about that right now. But it's cool. That's embarrassing. Oh, it's fine. I can't believe I said that out loud. It's okay. I'm intelligent, okay? I am smart. Just have my moments, okay? It's fine. All right, Stevie, move forward from that embarrassment, please.
What are some of your favorite authors to read?
Oh God. Emily McIntyre, obviously, I will read forever, now and forever, anything she ever writes. Especially because I get to read them before everyone else.
Have you
been
hooked?
Yes, I have.
Aw, yeah. You lucky dog.
Yeah. We read as the other person is writing it. So like she sends me chapter by chapter. And then yeah, so that's actually the last time that I'll like actively read it. And then when the book releases, I will usually do a quick read through or reread. Either if she sends me an art copy or whatever.
Yeah. Just,
you know. And then I love Ashley Zavarelli. A. Zavarelli is a one-click author for me. I love Saffron Kent.
Oh, you said her keyword, one of them.
Oh, that is my, oh my God. That's my BFF. I love her. Author BFF. I love her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Oh, God. So good.
God, I don't know why I'm blanking. I love Coralie June. I will usually read anything she writes. Mm-hmm. God, I don't read as much as I used to, obviously, just because I write so much. And I'm usually writing on such tight deadlines so that when I do read, it's like I'm squeezing in as many books as possible. So like they all blur together.
Literally me. Right.
Yeah.
Literally me. It's like I'm gonna just shove a whole month of TBR into like 1 week and see how this works out for me. Also, I don't know if you read A Gorgeous Villain by Saffron, like her new book.
I haven't. It's literally sitting on my shelf and I have not read it yet.
So when I tell oh my God, chef kisses. I got an so I got it as a beta and I love it. I love it.
It's got some of my favorite trope. Like I fucking love the accidental pregnancy trope.
You're gonna flip. Gonna literally flip.
That's my keyword.
Callie is probably one of my favorite females she's wrote since Layla.
Yeah.
In The Unrequited.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, I love her. I don't know, but Willa's the closest. Oh God, but Willa's up there too. I just love all of her. I love her so much. It's so great. Anywho, okay, sorry.
All right. Do you prefer e-reader or physical copies?
Honestly, I don't really have a preference. E-reader is just easier. And I'm very much one of those, like, I need immediate gratification. So like waiting for the paperback to arrive just kills it for me.
Yeah. It like takes the anticipation down. It's like, now I'm excited to read the book.
Yeah. So usually I will buy it on ebook. And if I really, really love it, I'll go ahead and order the paperback too.
Same. So. I do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't read my paperbacks. They just go on a shelf.
Yep. Yep. I've only got a couple that I've read and that, like, I think I said that. I don't usually buy them without reading them first, like, as an ebook. But there are a few that I have, especially recently. And I ordered a couple of Sierra Simone books that I hadn't read. I read that as an ebook. I did not order the paperback, but I ordered Sinner as a paperback.
That's such a good cover. And then she's got Saint coming out, which is
yes. Saint. I'm very excited for that. Yep. That cover also is just gorgeous.
Oh yeah.
Gorgeous.
Oh, so I can't paint. Thanks. Dead. Alive. I can't. I am actually like really happy that it blew up on TikTok and like a lot of people started reading it because I thought it was a super before it blew up on TikTok. I knew it was like really popular in like certain like genres, but I thought it was a really underrated book.
Yeah.
I was like, bro. It's like the smuttiest smut out there. Okay. Yeah. And it's so good. It's so good. It's a vibe. Sorry. I was going to say something and I forgot. And I literally blanked on what it was. Literally blanked. The only books that I won't read on e-reader first, which I'm going to be honest with you, I will just buy a book because of the cover. Like I was going to buy Promises and Pomegranates. Like, I was gonna buy it on a paperback. I don't even care. So I cannot even deny that. However, most of the time I do read it on e-reader or the paperbacks that I buy prior, like are authors that I love. Mm-hmm. So it's like I know no matter what they put out, I'm gonna like.
Yeah.
But I think Stephen King is probably the only author that I will, I literally went to Barnes & Noble like yesterday because you just released two new books. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what they're about and bought both in like both hardback and paperback. I still got four of them.
Oh, wow.
So, that whole shelf, that whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's probably the only author that I won't read on like a Kindle or anything like that because I just need to, I need, like, to feel it. I need to.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I can see that.
All right, go, Stevie.
All right. What was your last 5-star read?
I have a couple. Okay, so I usually don't even, like, I never rate or review books ever. So officially, my last 5-star read is going to be Hooked by Emily McIntyre. Because that was... That was the last one that I read and really, really connected with. She just gets me.
I'm gonna stealth it and pretend to be a vlogger and try to get a fucking arc. That's how badly I want to read this book.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And it's really funny because she would like message me worried about being or worried because it was, you know, her first dark romance, and I just she has no problem like meshing the genre, like zero problem at all. And I'm such a stickler too with my dark romance. I'm not a snob, just a stickler. But like the way that when I approach dark romance or when I look for it to read is that I want my characters to be bad. At least one of the characters have to be a bad person.
Yeah.
And like a villain. And she does it, and she did it fantastically.
But do they though? On the
well, yeah. They at least have to be villainous on the out. Like they have to have that quality at least.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Hooked is fantastic. Definitely my last 5-star read.
I think that Emily and I are like twinning in like all departments. Not only are we birthday twins, same zodiac, and Slytherins, we literally released debut novels within a month of each other and literally are continuing like the same, but like I kid you fucking not. I literally just finished a fucking, like I have like a hockey romance series, which is like very contemporary romance, like high angst. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently just about to, like in September 23rd, which is like a few days after she releases Hooked.
Yeah.
It is my first dark romance. And I'm like, bro, we're twinning. We're just across the board.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I love her, bro. Is that your last book question, Stevie? Okay, yes. Moving to writing questions. When did you realize that you wanted to be a writer/author?
Very, very young. I started writing, like, not officially, obviously, but recreationally or as my main/only hobby in third grade. I would write, like, these random fictional little whatevers, and they had pictures at the time, too. Never been an artist. That was never in the cards for me, but so like we would get like silent reading time or silent journaling time, and that's what I would be doing, would be writing. And then in like middle school is kind of when it became more of a concrete, like, hey, I think I'm good at this and I think that I could do something with this eventually.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like I wanted to publish a book eventually, but it was never really on my horizon as something I could actually do.
Yeah.
And then when I went to my dad's one summer and had unfiltered internet access and made a Wattpad account. And
that's my shit. Been my shit since 14.
Yes, exactly. Same age. Yep.
It's inappropriate. I should not have been on Wattpad at 14, but by God, I gobbled up every single One Direction fanfic you could even imagine.
I wasn't reading like crazy, like smut or anything. Like I was legit reading, I guess, YA romance probably.
Oh no, I was reading smut. And the thing is though, is like Wattpad is the birth of the bad boy. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Wattpad is the birth of a bad boy with a soft spot for like the quirky girl.
Yeah.
Literally every single Wattpad book has the same plot. It is a bad boy who like smokes cigarettes and smells like cigarettes. Yes. And he wears a leather jacket. And the girl, like, she like doesn't wear makeup and she always has her hair fun.
Yes. Did you read The Kissing Booth when it was on Wattpad?
By Beth Reckles, absolutely.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Same. And it
destroyed me that, like, because I was up at like 4 a.m. like sobbing my eyes out because the end of the book ends in like it's not a cliffhanger, but it's not a happily ever after either.
Right. Right. And
originally, before it was like actually published, The Kissing Booth was like fucking 50 chapters.
Yes. Yes.
And I was reading that, set it till 4 a.m. expecting a happily ever after, and that bitch sent him to college and was like, sorry, not writing a book too. And I was like, you got me fucked up, lady. You got me fucked up.
Yes, exactly.
There is, and I think the reason that I enjoy reverse harem, so I love reverse harem, I don't even care. Mm-hmm. I saw this TikTok today that was like, this lady, and she was like, girl, people who read love triangles, but people who enjoy love triangles but not reverse harems, and it's like, I don't relate to you. It's like me. But I think the reason I like reverse harem is because, I don't know if you ever read it, it was very popular. It's called Never Fall in Love with the Fisher Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was just basically about this girl who, her dad back in the military, and she had no other family, and she went to go live with her dad's best friend, and they were like super wealthy, and they had 5 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I liked reverse harem, even though she ends up with only one of them. In my head, I was like, why not all?
Yeah.
And that's like, in my head, I was like, all of them. Yeah. So I love Wattpad. Continue your talk about your author career, because we got off on a
tangent. Oh, yeah. That was basically, when I got to Wattpad, I was kind of just like, this is a legitimate thing that I could do with my life, and I would love to do it. So I went to college. I was in college for marketing. Mm-hmm. I think I got halfway through my sophomore semester as a marketing major, and I was like, I don't fucking like this. Business is boring. I'm bad at math. Like, it's just not working out.
Yeah.
And so I switched to creative writing that same semester, and that was it. And then when I realized that I didn't even have to go through the trad publishing route, I could self-publish, I was like, oh fuck yeah, definitely
watch this shit.
Yep.
Pretty, yeah, same. I feel like that's how everybody was. They were like, fuck this, watch this.
Yep. Yeah.
And I wanted to be like in publishing in general, like whether, like, I feel like writing is such a dream, like you grow up like reading and it's like, god, I will never be able to do this.
Yeah.
It feels like such an unreachable goal, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that I wanted to do something in publishing. Like, I mean, either I'm dyslexic and I was like, I want to be an editor. But I was like, I wanted to do something in publishing, whether that be like marketing or an editorial service, mm-hmm. or something of that nature. And I thought the only way I was going to do that is working with like a traditional publishing company and doing something like that.
Yeah.
And then it was like self-publishing came and I was like, psych, watch this. Yep. I'm going to do it. Yep. I'm going to do it fine. Exactly. I'm going to do it myself. Like that TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was me. So do you have any interesting writing quirks, like eating Twizzlers or like wearing the same hoodie or like having to write at the same time, anything like that?
I was wearing the same hoodie. I have a black bear hoodie, but it's missing. So
Black Bear, singer Black Bear?
Yes.
Have you listened to his new album?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the love of my life.
I love it.
Love it. But I have a black bear hoodie somewhere in my house. I just don't know where it is. Technically, that's supposed to be my one thing that I always bring in here, but I haven't found it since we moved. Like, we moved recently and it's just gone. So I've had to cope without it. I always try to have something to drink. I'm either in complete silence or I've got either a playlist that ends up in like making it to the book, a playlist that reminds me of the book, or lo-fi beats are playing. Lo-fi beats are the best fucking thing that I've ever discovered. the first book that I wrote almost entirely while listening to the Lo-Fi Beats playlist on Spotify. I don't know what it is, but that that playlist gets my juices, like my creative juices flowing.
I'm gonna need
to look fucking good. So good. There's no, well, sometimes there are words, but they're usually like clips from like one of my favorite ones has clips from, oh God, what is that movie called? Something, it's a Jimmy Stewart movie, but oh, so fucking good.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
You definitely should.
I love how Spotify has like a playlist for everything though.
Yes.
When I don't feel like
a TikTok playlist.
Of course there is. Of course there is. I literally, so when I first start writing and I'm trying to catch like the vibe for the book, right? You can literally type in whatever you want in the Spotify searching thing, and there's a playlist for it. Like you could do like bad boy rockstar boyfriend playlist.
Yep.
I feel like a bad bitch today playlist.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. So I'll honestly, oh, I'm getting a phone call. That is, no, thank you. I will literally like just search on Spotify and then there it is. And I'm also really into this, like, this is so stupid, but I'm also, TikTok has got me really into these like slowed and reverbed versions of
music. Yes.
Bro, I listened to, so I do yoga in the mornings, right? I literally listened to Rosalyn on the Twilight soundtrack on reap, like it was literally an hour of slowed and reverbed Rosalyn on the Twilight soundtrack. I listened to it for like a whole hour doing yoga. What is wrong with me? So I can't even, but I'm gonna have to look up this lo-fi beat thing. I'm gonna have to.
Yes, so good.
What do you like to do when you're not writing?
Honestly, I'm an extremely boring person. I don't leave my house that often. When I do, it's literally like I go sit at my parents' for an hour, we watch Kitchen Nightmares, and then I come back home.
Oh yeah, Kitchen Nightmares is my shit.
So if I'm not writing, I'm usually hanging out with my family or my dogs or reading. And I also watch a lot of sitcoms. And usually I watch them on repeat until like I'm sick of them. So like I'm on a Modern Family kick right now.
Okay, so do you like Grace and Frankie?
I haven't watched that one.
Oh, I love Grace and Frankie. It literally is me and my best friend Melissa. I am Grace. I am Frankie. She is Grace. And basically like Frankie's this like pot smoking lady and Grace is like the complete opposite. She's very like business attire and Frankie gets her stoned all the time. Like the first time they ever hang out with each other, Grace ends up accidentally taking peyote.
Oh my God.
And she ends up high on a beach, bro, and peyote will fuck you up.
Yeah.
And so I was like, bro, it's me and it's me. I love that. And like Schitt's Creek. Have you watched Schitt's Creek?
I started it. I have not finished it.
You're missing out. I'm telling you right now. Seasons 3 to the rest of them, they're the best.
Oh, are they?
Hmm. You just gotta get past like the first season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm weird about the shows that I watch is that like they're comfort shows. So it's usually stuff that I've already seen that I can just like turn on in the background, not necessarily have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Which is why I watch them so many times. But
you have anxiety?
Oh yeah. Oh okay, yeah.
So that's why.
And OCD. So it's like.
I saw this thing. There is a fucking lawnmower outside that decided to just be loud as shit today. I was saying TikTok has taught me so much about life. Okay.
Yeah.
I saw this and it was talking about how people with anxiety will rewatch television shows over and over and over and over again, because it's like, not only is it like a comfort show, they don't have to worry about being blindsided and their anxiety can't deal with like not knowing what things are going to happen. So they continue to watch it. So they're not like surprised by anything. And I was like, oh, so that's why I've watched Criminal Minds like maybe 100 times over.
Yeah. That's also why I steer clear of like most dramas, is because I don't like I like to feel good when I'm watching TV.
I don't want to feel like stress. I don't want to do it. So what is the weirdest thing you have had to Google for a book?
Well, okay, I write mafia, or I have been writing mafia romance and dark romance, so like most of my search history and my bookmarks are fucking weird. And definitely, like, I have to be on some list somewhere. I'm definitely flagged, you know.
Oh, same.
Cal's book, I think, Promises and Pomegranates, was the one that kind of came up with the weirdest stuff, just because I like to research everything when I'm coming up with characters. So, like, even if something isn't necessarily, like, spelled out in a book, or even if it doesn't come up in the book at all, mm-hmm. I want to know what a character would do in that situation. I want to know what this kind of, like, and with Cal being a doctor, it doesn't necessarily come into play a whole lot in the actual book, but I wanted to have the knowledge myself, mm-hmm. in case, like, I needed it to be there so that he was believable as a character.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I was researching his, I was looking up, like, serial killer doctors. I've got a bunch of stuff that's, like, bookmarked in my YouTube, or saved in my YouTube, and it's, like, 5 evil doctors, serial killer doctors, and there was actually one that was named Doctor, or nicknamed Dr. Death, and, like, completely different circumstances, but I was, like, oh, damn, I didn't know that. And his was actually the first book that I had done research for that the research made me physically ill. And it was because, like, I've got a super weak stomach, so I really don't know why I'm writing such violent stuff. But I was researching, I think, this one specific medical procedure, and I was, like, watching a video of, like, an excision of some kind of, like, cyst or tumor or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is sick. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why I'm writing about this. I don't know how I'm gonna. I don't know how I'm gonna put this on paper that doesn't actually come. Like, I think, and honestly, in Promises and Pomegranates, I probably gloss over violence and gore the most, mm-hmm. than the past or the King's Trace books, which is funny because it was not what I was planning on doing, but that's just how it wrote. But yeah, if I had gone in really deep, then it would have been really. Really gross.
Gory and violence is, like, my favorite thing to write, I am found.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. I think I like writing that more than romance sometimes. I'll be like torturing somebody for, like, fucking 5 chapters and then have to write, like, 1 sex scene, and I'm like, fuck, let's just go back to when I could just slaughter people for no reason.
Yeah.
And there's actually, and okay, so when I was reading Promises and Pomegranates, this is gonna sound very weird, but have you seen the TV show Hannibal?
I have not.
Okay, do you know the actors that play them?
I can't place them off the top of my head, but I feel like I've seen them before.
Hold up, let me get him pulled up real quick. He has a name, and I'm pretty sure, obviously he has a name, but I'm pretty sure when I say it, it's like Mads Mikkelsen. Is that how you say it? You just had to look him up, okay? Mm-hmm. When I was reading this fucking book, all I could see in my head was that man. And let me tell you something, I'm very attracted to him, especially in that video. Even though he plays Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
I was still very attracted to him in this.
Yeah.
And he's obviously, like, a doctor cannibal man. So when I was reading Promises and Pomegranates, that's all I could see in my head. And I wasn't mad at it. I was like, this is the vibe. This is nice. I have so many issues. My God. And I'm talking about cannibalism for, like, the second time on this fucking podcast. My God. Oh God.
He likes to metaphorically connect romance readers to cannibalism.
Yeah, that's
I would fair. No, that is not, you're putting me out. No, you're gonna make people think I'm fucking crazy. I was making a metaphor between, it was like Tori Alvarez, and her characters are very, like, much so the people who were, like, grown up, like, in poverty, and, like, mm-hmm. have that fight or flight instinct where they will, like, fight until, like, the death kind of thing. And I was comparing that to how, like, if you were trapped in the Swiss Alps or the Andes with, like, your friends, and your friend happened to die and you had no food, you would eat them.
Sure. Yeah.
Your survival instinct kicks in, and that's the same thing and how it works with, like, people who grow up in, like, poverty or in, like, really abusive childhoods. Survival instincts will kick in.
Right.
I'm just saying, don't go eat people. Right. And I'm not saying eat anybody if you're trapped in the mountains. I'm just saying, Have you guys ever watched a TV show, the movie The Andes? It's like where that soccer team crashes in the fucking Andes and one of their friends dies and they eat him. And they didn't eat his face or anything. It was just like lower body. And so, I mean, all I'm saying is if we three were trapped in the Andes and CV died of natural causes or like fell off a cliff and died, and thanks. The only food I have, I'm sorry. I'm eating you. I'm going to live. Okay? I'm going to live. My friends and family think I have like serious mental issues because I like watching, like, you guys watch the Saw movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is a very like left turn I've taken. Obviously, you probably don't like that. It's very gory. But I need to say this. My family thinks I have like serious mental issues because when I'm like watching those movies, I'm like, oh, bet. I was like, I'm fucking killing whoever I wake up next to. Like, if somebody puts me, if I wake up in a chamber and I'm like attached to something and another person across the room is attached to something on the other side and there's a weapon between us, bro, you're dead. You better hope you wake up first because you are immediately dying. I'm living. I don't care. I don't care. My fight or flight is survival only. And I don't know what needs to be done, period. Period.
This happens on this podcast.
I'm just saying. Don't want to be locked in a room with me while Jigsaw was testing this. You're dead. Anyways, so we're going to move on to our favorite portion of the podcast, which is trope questions.
Okay.
It is sadly the last part of it, but we love these questions, so we're going to get into them. What is your favorite trope to write and why?
You know, I would say enemies to lovers, but I'm really super, 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 super into Grumpy Sunshine.
Oh, yeah.
I would die for that trope. and it's my favorite to write also because I feel like I just like the dynamic and I like exploring how Sunshine brings out Grumpy and how Grumpy brings out Sun. Like, you know, I just like how they play off of each other and I like how they can bring out the best / the worst in each other. And I just think it's beautiful.
Me too. I also really love that trope. I love that trope so much. I like reading that trope.
Yes. Yep.
So what's one trope you would eventually like to write and why?
Bully romance. Definitely. I think that's trope, right?
Yes.
I love a good bully romance and I just eventually would like to write one. I just haven't yet. I actually have a cover. I have a bunch of covers for books that have not been written yet, but I've got a cover for one that I plan on eventually publishing, but just waiting on me to have some kind of idea for it.
Me currently. That's literally me. What is one trope you will never write and why?
You know, I don't think there's one that I won't write because there isn't one that I won't read. Like, I don't have any triggers. I don't have any, like, icks. Like, I will literally read and write anything, I think.
Don't yuck nobody's yum. That's what it made me think of. That's what made me think of when you said no icks. Okay, so which one's, like, the furthest in the distance from you for you to write in the future?
God, I don't even. Reverse Harem is probably furthest off just because my memory is truly, truly terrible. So like I feel like for me writing, I need to keep it as simple as possible as far as how many characters' heads that I am in, because I just feel like for me, and I feel like that one would take me a lot longer to write than a regular two person like dual POV would. What?
I'm muting myself because this man with a lawnmower is like right next to me. I am dying. Okay, I'm laughing because there's no grass next to my window.
Oh my god.
I don't know why. Right here. Okay, I'm sorry. Continue.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Oh my god. I need help. Okay.
I think Reverse Harem is probably the furthest off, but I I won't say that I won't ever write it. I just don't have any plans in the future, or the near future anyway.
I also could not write Reverse Harem. I love it. I just don't think I could ever write it because, like, also my brain could not handle.
Yeah.
I could not. Too many body parts. Too many different words. Yeah. All right, Stevie, you ask our last, very last question before she gets to pimp herself out to our listeners.
If you were in a book, what trope would you want for your story?
Oh, Jesus. You know, enemies to lovers has the best qualities that I like to read about. Would I make a good enemy? Probably not. I feel like I would unfairly tip the scale in one direction. I would either be too apologetic to my enemy or I would be too mean. So I feel like that wouldn't work. So it would have to be like a friends to lovers kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you, in order, I feel like, to love me enough to want to be with me, you have to get to know me, because I feel like I am an acquired taste. So definitely I think friends to lovers would be the one for me.
All right, then. Stevie's is billionaire.
Yep.
Oh, that is it. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good
love
one.
Love can't buy happiness, but money can help.
Yes. Yep.
Whoever said that won't be buying in the right stores. Tell you that right now. I'm saying right now, I'd rather be crying on a private jet on the way to Italy than I would be in my 2-bedroom apartment. Yeah.
100%. Yep. Absolutely. So
there's that. But that is our final question for you. We've had such a good time. You have been so amazing. Once again, congratulations on making bestseller lists for Promises and Promises and Pomegranates. I am going to leave a few minutes for you to talk about where our listeners can find you, and if you got a new book coming up or a sale coming up or anything of that nature, the floor is yours.
Okay, I am active on all of my social media, so if you ever want to send me a message, comment, anything like that, I try to respond to everything. I'm honestly really, really bad at responding to DMs, but I do try my best to at least acknowledge them in some capacity. So TikTok and Instagram are where I'm the most active. I have a Facebook reader group, Sabs Suckers. I'm pretty active there. And then I'm blanking on any other social media that I have. Facebook, Pinterest, basically all of the, like, you know, the main hitters, I'm there. And then my website has, I don't know if it has a contact form or not. I think it should. But if it doesn't, obviously social media works too. You can also buy signed paperbacks off of my website. My whole King's Trace Antihero series is up there, as well as Promises and Pomegranates, the pre-order for those signed paperbacks. All four of my books are available in ebook, paperback, and hardcover on Amazon. Promises and Pomegranates is in the process of being available as a paperback online at Barnes and Noble. So that will hopefully be this week. And yeah, I think that's all. I feel like that's all I've got.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was super great. And we hope to chat with you soon.
Yes. Thank you for having me.